Well, everyone, it is the moment that you have all been waiting for, the return of everyone's favorite biblical drama, Keeping Up with the Corinthians. Boo, 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 boo. So 3 years ago now, if you can imagine that, we opened up the book of 1 Corinthians and looked together at that letter to the Corinthian church. And really, I think keeping up with the Corinthians was a nice way of talking about it, because just like the Kardashians, man, there was drama in the church at Corinth. You know, issues over sexuality and money and popularity and fame. And it's all there in Corinth, of course, just as it is in the Kardashian family. It's time now, I think, for season two of Keeping Up with the Corinthians. And so that means that we are going to look at Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. This is, of course, written to the same group of people, but the tone of this letter is a lot different from the tone of the first letter. You know, the first was a real challenge kind of letter. The second letter that Paul sends is more of a comfort letter. And as the whole COVID-19 lockdown thing started, I kind of had this suspicion that maybe this was the time for season two of Keeping Up with the Corinthians. And when I read it devotionally, I thought, time after time, oh, we need to talk about this right now, or that is just what we need to hear right now. And so I'm pretty excited to open up the book of 2 Corinthians with you here over the next little while. Up to this point, we've been kind of treading water. My messages have been coming to you Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays up to Easter, just kind of, you know, expressing what's on my heart in terms of God's encouragement. Now we're going to start to move forward and actually unpack a book and really dig into learning God's word more deeply and fully. I'm not going to publish a schedule, a dated schedule at least, because there is, there's no telling when we're going to be able to meet again, but we will work on, I'll have a new episode of Keeping Up with the Corinthians with you pretty much every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday for the next few weeks. So keep an eye out for those on YouTube. Today, we are going to start at the beginning, because that's a very good place to start. So if you have your Bible with you, you can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right off the bat in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul here opens his letter with something that's really quite relevant to us. You know, just like the the Corinthian church had been going through a pretty hard time. And so Paul writes to them, and he says, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." That's how he starts his letter. Praise be to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Paul knows that the Corinthian people are having a hard time, but that's not the first thing that he talks about, is it? He doesn't say, "Hello, I hope you well. I hope this finds you well." He doesn't say, "Gee, you poor people, you are going through a really difficult time." He says to them, and he says to us, "Praise be to the God and Father of all comfort, who helps us even in this trial." Right? He lifts our eyes off of our circumstances up to the God who can help us in the midst of those circumstances. And it's not just any old God that Paul is talking about here, is it? It is the God of all compassion, the Father of all comfort. Just think about that for a minute. When you call God Father, the Father of all comfort then applies his boundless compassion to you in your time of need, in all times of need, right? There is no circumstance in which God is not able to help. He comes alongside us and wipes away the tears and gives us courage to take the next step. David Garland, who writes this commentary, says, "The comfort that Paul has in mind is not this tranquilizing dose of grace that just dulls the pain. the comfort that Paul is talking about here is a stiffening agent that fortifies your heart and soul and mind. God's comfort strengthens weak knees and sustains sagging spirits, and so that you can face the troubles of life with unbending resolve and unending assurance, right? A pillow and a brace. God comes alongside us to comfort us and strengthen us and to encourage us, whatever the situation is. And when he does that, we find that we have strength to carry on. But here's the thing. God's comfort is not meant to stop with us. A famous preacher, John Henry Jowett, once said, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. And you see that in the passage again, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Right? God comforts us in every trial so that our experience of his grace will spill out of our lives to others, whatever their circumstances. Right? Having been comforted by God in our situation, we then extend that same comfort to people in similar situations. It doesn't stop with us, right? It's not like at Christmas dinner, you know, you're sitting, you're having supper with your family. It's not like you take a big scoop of mashed potatoes and then just stay there, keep it to yourself on the plate, right? You pass it on. That's how God's comfort works for us. The Father of all comfort comforts us in all of our troubles, so we will take that comfort and extend it to all those who are in need. And if you think about it, it's a brilliant plan, right? If you've been through a certain trial and God has been there to carry you through it, then you are perfectly situated to help another person who is now going through that same trial. Right? You take the experience of the comfort that you received in that moment and you pass it on to them in a way that you uniquely know that they need. That's how it works. You know, on one level, the God of all comfort comforts us in a spiritual supernatural way. But on another level, that comfort is coming not just like poof out of the blue, but through you. God's comfort to them is being mediated through you. God comforts us so that we will comfort others. So let's take a minute. Let's think about, what does this look like, right? We're talking about a pillow and a brace, comfort and encouragement to carry on. Well, what does that look like? In many ways, I think that it's really a matter of presence, right? Of being there. You don't need, if you're going to comfort somebody, you don't necessarily need to go to their house and wrap them up in like a big blanket or something. They just need to know that you are with them, that you are there, that you are willing to listen, right? Not necessarily to give advice and say, here's the perfect way to solve this problem. Just be there. Acknowledge the pain. Listen to them. Share your experience of God's comfort in your life in that moment. And just be there to say, you know what? By the grace of God, we're going to get through this together. I know that this is a little bit more tricky, given the fact that we are socially distanced right now, but I mean, our phones still work. We can send text messages. We can write messages on sidewalks, make phone calls to people to let them know that we are thinking about them. And don't diminish that in any way in your mind. God comforts other people through the phone calls that you are making to other people. You know, I spoke to somebody on the phone from the church this week who said that they've been on the phone more in the last 3 or 4 weeks than they have in the last year. Like, they've been on the phone calling people and encouraging them. And, man, that is exactly how it should be. That is God pouring out his comfort in your life, letting it overflow to other people. Keep it up. I know that so many of you are doing that, and I'm so grateful that you are. Let God comfort you in these times, and then let that comfort spill over from your life into other people. You know, God comforts us not to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Let's share that comfort that God has given us with others. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that you pour your comfort and grace out into our lives. Jesus, you know loss. You know what it means to feel pain. You know what grief feels like. And so you can come alongside us to comfort us in a real and meaningful and empathetic way. Jesus, thank you that you have walked as a human being who knows what we are going through. We pray that you would help us to sense and to be grateful for the grace and comfort that you are pouring out in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom to then take that and extend it to others. Lord, we acknowledge that sometimes when we go through a hard time or when somebody else is going through a hard time, it's awkward to know what to say. It's awkward to be in the presence of someone who is mourning and grieving, but we want to go there. Jesus, the fact that you comfort us means we have reason and purpose and courage to go and to bring peace in the midst of difficulties. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to extend the grace that others need to them in their times of need. God, I pray that you would give us words to say and wisdom to know when we just need to be there. Lord, thank you for the way that people in our congregations have been applying this already. Lord, I pray that you would bless your church and each of those here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.